quiet rehearsal of murder. The caretaker went up the steps one by one, and they creaked as he took them.
Eek, eek, eek.
He went round the corner and up the next flight.
Eek, eek, eek.
Until he reached the landing and went to the nearest door and knocked. A man with grey hair and a long gravedigger's face answered.
I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. Pettigrew, said the caretaker, looking sheepish, but there's been some complaints about the noise.
Mr. Pettigrew lowered his long, dark face to the caretaker's.
I have been making no noise. For this, he said, gesturing back at his room, is a quiet rehearsal of murder.
Very good, Mr. Pettigrew. Sorry to bother you, Mr. Pettigrew.
The caretaker made repeated small bows like a twitching dormouse.
I think you'll find, said Mr. Pettigrew, that it's the people next door.
Mr. Pettigrew closed the door and listened as the caretaker made his way to the adjacent bedsit.
Can you please keep the noise down? Mr. Pettigrew is trying to rehearse.
Mr. Pettigrew returned to his experiments. He filled up his pipette with poison from a test tube and added a drop to the soil of a pot plant, a fern. The caretaker continued to make his way down the creaking stairwell as Mr. Pettigrew pipetted drops of the poison.
Eek, eek, eek.
And on the fourth splash, the fern began to curl over and closed its fronds like lashes to the dark earth.
Perfect, said Mr. Pettigrew, returned the pipette to its test tube and began to read through a stack of books until there was another knock on the door. Yes?
It's Miss Bronwyn,
said Miss Bronwyn, the librarian. Mr. Pettigrew opened the door.
Have you brought me some new books?
Oh yes, I smuggled them out of the library.
She giggled, and Mr. Pettigrew noticed that the thin black bob that enclosed her tiny head like a pair of tweezers moved in and out as she said the double G of smuggled.
You look like your head is about to be plucked from your body when you say the double G of smuggled, he said.
Oh, I'm sorry, she said.
You better come in.
She sat demurely on an old stool, her head tilted down for fear that it might be smuggled off with the next double consonant.
I have the correct dose of poison for this batch, said Mr. Pettigrew. All that we need now is the reading group.
Oh, yes, said Miss Bronwyn, looking up carefully. Four people have applied, and we're going to be in the periodicals room tomorrow at 3 p.m.
Miss Bronwyn looked up more boldly now, and Mr. Pettigrew could see the almond of her eyes.
How many are you going to murder?
She said, with a sudden earnestness.
One, Miss Pettigrew. Murder, like all good plots, demands subtlety.
He opened up one of the books and felt the thinness of a page.
What about the other places? Continued Miss Bronwyn. Did you kill many people in the other places?
One person in each library. I have travelled the world and been to many reading groups, but I have only killed one person in each place.
Did they die a horrible death?
Said Miss Bronwyn, her eyelids beginning to flutter.
It is not the nature of the death, said Mr. Pettigrew. Do I need to remind you again?
Miss Bronwyn looked back down.
The reason I do this is not for my own pleasure. It is to bring drama and pleasure into other people's lives. When do these people die? Remind me, Miss Bronwyn.
When they are reading, Mr. Pettigrew.
That's right, Miss Bronwyn. When they are reading, their fingers move across the sentences of the page, and when they touch a microdot of poison at the appropriate punctuation, it is then that they die. When a character in the book falls off a cliff, or a loved one dies in his Valentine's arms, this is where the poison must lie. Too long has literature been dull and parochial. We are bringing a sense of vitality into reading. It is only when we are dying that we are truly aware of being alive. The Martin Amis novel will no longer posture towards a gritty realism. Penelope Lively will no longer suggest the fear of its fated heroine in Provence Hills. The readers themselves will experience death as they read, and thereby they will experience life. We will bring life into the libraries of Britain by...
She blinked at him.
By bringing death.
That's right, Miss Bronwyn, by bringing death.
Her pupils widened so the brown iris was eclipsed to a thin aurora in the whites of her eyes.
You know, said Mr. Pettigrew, as he reached into the breast pocket of Miss Bronwyn's blouse and removed a pair of black plastic spectacles. "You look so beautiful with your glasses on." She put them on her nose.
"Oh, Mr. Pettigrew,"
breathed Miss Bronwyn. "We have no time for that, Miss Bronwyn. We must read and find the relevant punctuation." They read silently as the sun set through the fronds of the wilting fern. The next day, Mr. Pettigrew arrived at the library, and Miss Bronwyn handed him 6 copies of the book he had decided on. He took them into the toilet, locked himself in a cubicle, and removed a poisoned microdot from a cigarette case with a pair of tweezers and placed it in one of the books. The sentence was at the end of page 36, chapter 2, where one of the characters, Cecily, begins with great dignity, comma, to weep, full stop. His hands shook as he dropped the tiny black dot from the tip of tweezers onto the full stop. He left the toilet, and Miss Bronwyn led him to the periodical room, where the other 4 members of the reading group were waiting on orange plastic chairs. There were 3 women and 1 man.
"This is Mr. Pettigrew," said Miss Bronwyn quietly. "He will be leading the reading group."
"The book I have decided on is called A Village Affair by Joanna Trollope."
"I really like Joanna Trollope," said one of the women,
who wore a green pullover and had a tweed plaited skirt held together with a safety pin. Mr. Pettigrew gave the poison book to her and explained they were jumping straight into chapter 2. He read the story out loud as they read from the books and made everyone in the group, including Miss Bronwyn, follow each sentence with a fingertip to ensure that they didn't miss a word. They reached the end of chapter 2, and Mr. Pettigrew could see that the woman with the plaited skirt was already breathless with excitement, snorting through her nose. Too late, he noticed that she was in fact preparing to sneeze. "And Cecily, ha, 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 begins with, ha, ha, great dignity, to, achoo!" Mr. Pettigrew watched with panic as he saw what he imagined to be the poisoned microdot fly off the page and up into the air, silhouetted against the dirty magnolia ceiling. He watched its arc as it crossed the dirty streaks of mould above them, combining with each streak as it moved to make a semicolon, a full stop, an exclamation mark, a question mark, and then finally disappearing beyond his sight. Mr. Pettigrew was flustered.
"Let's repeat that sentence." He watched the woman in play carefully. "And Cecily begins with great dignity to weep."
The woman got to the end of her sentence with a fingertip. Nothing happened. Someone yawned.
"Well then," said Mr. Pettigrew, "we will have to wait till next week."
"Wait for what?"
said the woman.
"Whatever happens next," said Mr. Pettigrew.
The group dispersed, and Mr. Pettigrew tugged Miss Bronwyn off into the stacks of library books, more specifically, stack 32B, Cookery and Catholicism. When he was sure that they were hidden in the shadows, he turned to Miss Bronwyn.
"What happened?" she said. "Why did no one die?"
The woman sneezed. The microdot was blown away. "We'll get her next week. It wasn't the correct ending anyway." He looked down at Miss Bronwyn's now flushed face. She was wearing her black glasses, and he tried to peer through them at the delicate almond eyes. There was a speck of dirt in the centre of her right lens, and he wiped it off with his finger, and then stared at the fingertip gravely as he realised it was the poisoned microdot, and wilted slowly to the floor.
"What is it?" squeaked Miss Bronwyn.
She knelt down beside his crumpled body between the shelves of books. He started to whisper something, and Miss Bronwyn tilted an ear to listen.
"Cecily," he said, "begins with great dignity, comma, to weep, full."
Full what?" shrieked Miss Bronwyn.
Someone walked past the stacks of shelves and pointed at a sign that read, "Quiet, please. Other people are trying to read." She ignored them and lay a hand upon Mr. Pettigrew's chest and felt through his shirt and across the hair and the pectorals and the braille of the nipple to the heartbeat underneath. It paused and paused and then came to a full stop.